Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. 38 past the hour here at the Faith Radio Network. Has the internet become a weapon to hurt other people? At times it sure seems that way. Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical, is here to help us examine our hearts when it comes to what we post on the web. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you doing this morning?
Very well. You recently wrote an article in which you said this about the internet. I want to quote you. Sometimes the internet is used for good, whether it be using it to fund important causes on GoFundMe, keeping in touch with long-distance friends on Facebook, or simply doing work more effectively. The internet has its place in the All-Time Inventions Hall of Fame. But like any helpful tool, people find a way to get violent with it. And then you go on to describe three ways that we weaponize the internet. Let's spend some time unpacking that. How do we use the internet as a weapon?
Yeah, I think the three primary realms in which we weaponize the internet are, one, when we talk about celebrities, two, when we talk about religion or faith of any kind, and three, when we talk about politics. I think there are plenty of other realms and areas in which we can and do weaponize the internet, but I think the most common times are when there's a celebrity that does something that's embarrassing or reprehensible or whatever else. We weaponize it in attacking them. We weaponize the internet when we are arguing with our friends in very angry, mean, disrespectful ways about religion or faith matters. And then we definitely do it, as has been on display for months now, in political seasons, and even not in political season, in election seasons. Every season's a political season, but it just seems to be intensified when it's election season. So those are the three kind of primary places in which I think we weaponize the internet, and weaponize particularly social media. And what's commonly called Web 2.0, that's the internet as we know it today. Before, it was really in Web, quote-unquote, 1.0. It was just really super technical, nerdy, computer scientists who could post to the internet. Web 2.0 came along in the late 90s with America Online, AOL, all that kind of stuff. Since then, we've found tool that we use for so many good things, to promote our own agendas and ultimately to promote ourselves.
So, Chris, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to a much higher standard than the world. Given that, how should we approach everything that we do online?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that wherever we are, we're representing Christ and the body of Christ. So, for instance, let's just think of a possible example. You post a political rant on Facebook, whether it's pro-Republican or pro-Democrat, doesn't matter. You post a political rant on Facebook that's angry and emotional, and you watch some news story on a cable news network, and you typed out a response on social media and didn't really think about it. You weren't really even directing it at any one particular person. You're just like, this makes me so mad, yada, yada, yada. What that does to your non-Christian friends who follow you on social media, or even your Christian friends, is it says, okay, this person says he or she's a Christian, but he or she just went on this huge rant about a political issue or political candidate. Does the Bible that they claim to believe allow them to do that? Does it allow them to talk about that person in some way or misrepresent the views that person has? It calls into question for others who are watching you, and Christians need to understand that people are watching you on social media, and especially if you're a leader in a Christian organization or a leader in your church, people are watching you because you may be a role model for some, or people may just want to kind of imitate what you do because you're a leader to them. They may question, not necessarily whether or not you're a Christian, but they may question if you understand what it means to be a Christian, and they say, well, I see fruit in this person's life here, good, healthy believer's fruit. But then I see that are these things compatible? And you can really introduce some confusion if you on Sundays act like the good Christian person you're supposed to be, and on Wednesdays are calling out the political candidate you can't stand in hateful, unnecessarily angry ways.
And that's happened to a couple of pastors recently, some high-profile pastors who have said some things, done some things on social media that they've regretted.
Yeah, definitely. Pastors aren't immune. You know, pastors are the shepherds of the sheep. But I think a lot of times it's important for me to think of pastors as simply lead sheep, helping us to follow the good shepherd, because pastors aren't immune to this. And pastors are in a unique situation, right? Because pastors and just church leaders in general, even lay leaders, are in a unique situation where they have a platform on Sunday mornings where they talk about, you know, perhaps they, depending on the type of preacher they are, sometimes they connect their sermon to issues of the day. Maybe sometimes they try to stay away from that. But especially for pastors who try to connect their sermons to issues of the day, it is incredibly tempting to bash one or the other particular political side of the spectrum as you're preaching and as you're connecting it to scripture, because it's what's on everyone's minds, especially in election season. And so the pastor has a unique tension to stand for his convictions, yet not act in an unchristlike way in the way in which he stands for his convictions, if that makes sense.
Now, the flip side of not being mean-spirited or negative online is to be helpful and encouraging. And of course, scripture tells us very clearly to encourage one another, build one another up. Any suggestions on how we might do that when we're online or engaged in social networking?
Yeah, I try to maintain the mindset, and I don't do this perfectly, so don't hear me saying, oh, just do what I do, because I do it. I'm telling you to our listeners to do what I try to do. For every one critical item you post, whether that's an article that's – maybe you just share an article that's criticizing something. Post a few positive things. Post a few encouraging things, whether that just be scripture or a sermon clip that you really liked, or asking people how you can pray for them, or, you know, things like that. I try to do that on my blog occasionally. A lot of times I'm analyzing culture. Sometimes I pull out the negative from that, you know, what bad things are going on here. But sometimes I try to pull out the good too. So I think, you know, it's not bad to stand for your convictions. I hope people listening don't hear us saying, don't stand for your convictions. That's not Christ-like. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is you can stand for your convictions in a way that's winsome. You can stand for your convictions in a way that's unchrist-like and downright sinful. And I think the important thing is whether you're posting something that's standing for your convictions and you're kind of putting a stake in the ground, or you're sharing a Bible verse, that you're conducting yourself in a way that you can answer for before Jesus and say, you know, if Christ were to come to you and say, hey, did you post that? Did you mean to post that? You can say, yes, yeah, I stand behind that. I'm okay with that. And I hope our hearts aren't hardened to a point where we're okay posting things that would shame the name of Christ. And my fear is that a lot of us are there, whether we're there all the time or there only occasionally. So I think posting encouraging things is important, and try your best if you're on social media or you have any sort of online platform. Post more encouraging things than critical things.
And one thing that might be helpful for all of us, I think, Chris, is as we're sitting there at our keyboard, to imagine Jesus sitting there right next to us and looking at the screen and asking ourselves, how would he respond? I remember those old bracelets years ago, what would Jesus do? And while that's a little bit trite at this point, I think it can really serve us well, whatever we're doing. And the next time you're getting ready to post something, okay, the Lord is right there with you, because he really is. It's 47 past the hour. We're talking to Chris Martin here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Welcome back. 50 past the hour at Faith Radio. Be careful what thou posteth. That's from King James. We're talking about what we put on social media, or the comments we might put after a web article. and how God wants us to make sure we examine our hearts before we press that enter key. Joining us via Skype is Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical, who has a great website, millennialevangelical.com. Or is there a the in there, Chris? Is it just millennial evangelical or the millennial evangelical?
Just millennial evangelical, yeah.
All right, check it out.
I don't claim to be the only one.
Well, you're one of the best, I have to say that. Now, Tom Rainier, the president of Lifeway Christian Resources, had a very interesting podcast on his website a few days ago, which ties into this. And we talked a little bit about this before the break. It was titled Pastors, Politics, and Social Media. What were some of Tom's social media commandments that he presented?
Dr. Rainer's blog and podcast are both awesome, and I highly recommend anyone listening to check them out, especially pastors and church leaders, as that's kind of the primary audience. On this blog post, the podcast, Politics, Social Media, and Pastors, Politics, and Social Media is based on a blog post a while back, is really helpful, especially for the election season that we're in, because of that tension and that temptation pastors face that we talked about to stand for their convictions, which is important, but perhaps doing that in the wrong way. He lists 10 commandments kind of in a cheeky way, but they're good. They're helpful. And he makes the point, too, that he's not dissuading anyone from standing for their convictions. Pastors need to do that. But it is important to do that in the right way. So just a few of the commandments that I think are key. The first one is, you shall remember you are an ambassador for Christ. That's something that we kind of talked about at the top of our interview here. It is important to remember we're ambassadors for Christ. You know, the church is the embassy of the kingdom of God, and we are ambassadors here proclaiming the message of our King. And we need to remember that while we're proclaiming the message of our King, it's important that we not mix up messages our King would definitely not want us to say amidst the message that he does want us to communicate. Another one that's really helpful is you shall not be a stumbling block to unbelievers, which we talked about also just a few minutes ago. A lot of what Christians post on social media isn't a help to unbelievers. It is a stumbling block. You are literally building a obstacle for someone to come to faith in Christ. And if you're raging against a political view you don't like, I mean, there are, you know, we've talked about before, and on your radio show, you've talked about before, you know, the atrocities of abortion or things like this. Those are things to rightly stand with conviction against. But they're not things that we have license to hate people for. And I think it's important to remember that, because a lot of times our right conviction that something like abortion is a horrible thing and an atrocity in our day, unnecessarily and unintentionally overflows into this hatred of all people who would ever associate themselves with such an act. And we need not do that, because that's where that stumbling block can come in. Another commandment that he shares is, you shall remember your words are permanent. I posted something about this on the blog late last night, which I don't usually do, but the occasion called for it. Nothing you do, it's safe to believe that nothing you do online or any video you record is permanent, and it's not going to go away. So it's important to remember that, because someone could refer to a comment you made 2 years ago next week, and you could say, well, I don't believe that now. Well, that's okay, but that may be good, but it's still there, and that person can still bring it up. So those are just a few. I mean, he lists 10. I don't need to list them all here. You can check out the blog post and the podcast for sure, because he elaborates on them very well. But those are just a few that I thought were really helpful.
Now, the one you mentioned that you posted last night, I should just point this out, because the NFL draft was held last night, and Laramie Tunsil, top college player, was in the draft and expected to go as one of the very top picks, and did not. And one of the reasons that some people speculate that he did not get a higher ranking on the draft was a photo that he posted on social media. Why don't you share what that was, Chris?
Yeah, so Laramie Tunsil is an offensive tackle from Ole Miss. He was supposed to go in the top five or perhaps to number six to the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens passed on him and took him off their draft board, meaning they had no interest in him anymore, because shortly before the draft started, a video was posted to his social media of him smoking a marijuana bong attached to a gas mask He says his social media, his Twitter was hacked, which I completely believe him. I don't think he's lying and saying it would be incredibly silly for him to post the video. And I mean, he was sitting backstage at the draft. I don't think he was like, oh man, this will be funny, and posted the video, because that's almost career suicide. What he says is his account was hacked, and I totally believe him. The problem is, I feel bad for him because this thing happened to him, but I don't think he's a victim, which some people are trying to paint him as a victim of a hack, because the video is not fake. And he took the tweet down and he recovered. His Instagram was actually hacked too. The video is not fake. And so this is an example of that. Like I mentioned, the things being permanent. You could believe this video could be from 6 or 7 years ago. I don't know. But quite frankly, it doesn't matter, because it became relevant 5 minutes before the most important job interview in his life. And because he slipped to draft slot number 13, which, oh man, he only slipped 7 draft spots, not that big of a deal, it cost him about $8 million.
Gosh, just amazing. So before you post, pray and think very carefully.
Amen.
Great advice, Chris Martin, the Millennial Evangelical. Thanks for your time today, Chris. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
56 past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.